Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, let's meet Anna Wood. She's the creator of Brains Over Blonde, a digital lifestyle brand that bridges femininity, entrepreneurship, personal development, and mindfulness. Amazing. And Anna's a Google alumnus with a Stanford MBA and a serial entrepreneur, a beauty and a brain and a feminist. I'm so excited to talk to you. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So we met kind of indirectly through this Later Haters campaign from the MERS company.
Right.
Your name was on a list of boss girls that need to be conquering stigmas and dominating the world. So
all about that.
Me too. I'm all about that too. But tell me a little bit about what is Brains Over Blonde exactly. And sure. She's a beautiful blonde. I want to give you guys the visual out there.
Ah, thank you. So Brains Over Blonde is my personal brand. It's something... it's the first name I thought of, really, when I came up with this concept. But my background comes from coaching and from tech, like we talked about, and also in diversity training. That's what I studied at Berkeley and led some diversity training at Google as well. And so while I was in business school, I realized that people don't always love diversity training, and they tend to love absorbing information on social media a lot more. And so I came up with this concept to do, you know, gender diversity training and then also coaching online. And that's was the beginning of Brains Over Blonde, which has evolved to be not only about diversity and personal development, but also about your intuition and mindfulness and all sorts of things.
So you went to Berkeley and then after that decided to go into business school?
So I went to Berkeley for undergrad and after that worked at Google for 4 years doing a bunch of different things. I worked in music and then also in advertising at Google. But my real passions were what I was doing on the side. I did health and wellness coaching at Google. Mm-hmm. I lost about 60 pounds. So... Wow. That's how I got into that.
That's so amazing.
And then the diversity training as well, and took that into my work afterwards when I went to business school. Yeah.
So you've been described as a female empoweress.
Right.
And what does that mean to you? Like teaching people how to chase down their goals?
Yeah. Well, so it's a term I made up. I guess it started from just the fact that I didn't really identify with a lot of the terms that are already out there. I didn't see myself as just a blogger or just a coach or just an influencer. And a thread that has taken me through most of my life has been seeing potential in other people and helping them step into that power and empowering them. And for the most part, I work with women. It's not always only women, but most of the time it is. So yes, I dubbed myself a female empowerist.
Who's your average client? If you had to describe someone that's your average client or your ideal client, what kind of person comes to you with problems with their life and needs life coaching and you fix it? Give us an example.
So all the women I work with are super, super driven. And the common thread tends to be that they have always had this knowing or drive to do something really big. Mm-hmm. But they don't always know what that is. And often they... went to a good school, have a good job, but just aren't quite feeling that life is fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Either that's because they haven't discovered their passion or they haven't pursued their passion, or maybe they're unhappy in their relationships or unhappy in their own body. And I found that, you know, whatever women come to me for in the beginning, whether that be to lose weight or to find a relationship or to start a company, it almost doesn't matter what they come to me for, because all these parts of life are so intertwined. And it really starts with pulling back the layers of who they really are and getting to that authentic core. And then once they have that core, they can step into their confidence and power and really feel able to take on anything they want in life.
That's pretty hard to meet a stranger and be able to like convince them to strip away insecurities, problems, and layers of cover up, and then reveal what's really important to them and how to. It's challenging.
Yeah, I don't know if I resonate with the word convince, because I think I draw people in that want that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's never easy.
Yeah.
But they're seeking me out for a reason, and that's because they're willing and wanting to do the work.
Yeah, that's true. You have to come wanting it. You can't be like taught or convinced to do it.
I believe, you know, that old saying, like, people never change, that is entirely the opposite of what I believe. I believe people change all the time, but I think they have to be the ones to change. Mm-hmm. And I see myself as a guide to help them do that.
Mm. Has it been hard to be a woman in tech, in the tech fields? Like, were you taken seriously at Google, or were you just thought of as like, oh, here's a pretty blonde girl?
Yeah, I mean, I think no matter who you are, you're going to face stereotypes in this world that we live in. And I certainly did. I've experienced that my whole life, not just at Google.
Yeah.
But definitely working in tech, especially when I worked in Android, I was one of just like, you know, three women in our entire building that had hundreds of people in it. And wow. Everyone
That's
called
awful.
It.
Three yeah. women in the whole building.
I know, it was bad. This was back in 2011, but
yeah.
Everyone called it Mandroid. The whole place was like a fraternity, basically.
Yeah, you must have felt like a piece of meat there, did you?
I did in some ways. More so, it's less about the overt discrimination. It wasn't so much that. It's more the little subtle things where I just didn't always feel at home there. Like, yeah. It didn't feel like my office or my place all the time. And I'm someone that takes up space and has mm-hmm. a lot of confidence. So if I feel that way, mm-hmm. a lot of people probably feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I went into business school kind of with that chip on my shoulder, like, oh, I'm going to have to prove myself 10 times as hard. People are going to judge me. People are going to wonder why I'm here. People are going to wonder if I'm really smart and really worthy. I think a lot of people have those fears going yes. into a place like that with imposter syndrome, but I definitely face that too. And to some extent, those things are true, but I've really changed my perspective on it, which is that I believe if you expect people to judge you and you try to alter your behavior to make them not judge you, or alter your appearance to make them not judge you, it just means they're going to judge you in a different way. And because mm-hmm. people are going to judge you no matter what you do. And so what I've learned and what I help teach other people is to truly just be yourself, because if people are going to judge you no matter what, you may as well be yeah. yourself and do what you want.
Yeah. And then just develop some armor for the mean people that go sure. on attack.
I like to think of it as like your eggshell bubble of energy that's around you.
Yeah, definitely. Has it been hard growing up blonde? I'm a brunette, always been a brunette, always been a little jealous of the blondes. Oh. I'm being honest.
Well, I'm not naturally as blonde as I am right now. Let's yeah. be real. Being blonde is not something I thought about growing up when I was younger.
Yeah.
And
do you feel prettier when you're more blonde?
I feel more. I always am looking to feel more myself. And so that's why I think things like Botox are wonderful if they make you feel more yourself and more confident. Mm-hmm. I am blonde, but I'm not as blonde as I am now. Mm-hmm. I get my hair done. It makes me feel more like myself. It makes me feel more empowered.
Right.
You know, I had a breast reduction when I was 18. That made me feel more like myself and more empowered. And then last year, I decided to get a boob job. That made me feel more myself and more empowered. So yeah. with all of these things, altering your appearance from anything from braces to plastic surgery, I think it's all about your inner core. And if it's something you want to do for yourself, then I'm all for it.
I'm yeah. all for it, too. It's like your brain has this avatar fairy tale vision of yourself that's
right.
in there that was your 15-year-old self trying to come out.
Right.
And those things that you can eventually, as in adulthood, afford to do or plan and research and do safely, you should just do them. If you want to be that person,
hell
just
yeah.
be that person.
Yeah.
By if the time you realize, you. Yeah, that you have such a limited time on the planet Earth, and if you delay your happiness and delay your happiness, like you reach an age where you realize you need to do it now because you're just not going to have time. And
happiness is what we're all seeking. I find so many people are looking to other things as proxies to find happiness, like whether that be money mm-hmm. or a certain house or a certain relationship.
Yeah.
But they want those things. Everything we've ever wanted, we want because we think it'll make us happy. Like, all we really want is happiness. And mm-hmm. if a certain procedure or getting your hair done makes you feel more confident and happier, good
then
for you.
You should do it. Yeah. Yeah. But there, I think, is a certain amount of pettiness in women where we do judge each other, too. Don't you think?
Of course.
I wonder how we can fix that scenario, but I don't know.
Something I think about all the time.
I've seen it even in, like, we went to brunch on Father's Day, and these two little girls were with their dads. One wore a little Jasmine princess outfit, and the other one was a belle, and they both eyed each other up and down at age 3.
Are you kidding?
They were giving each other the eye, and I was like, is that just a genetically inborn thing that women give each other the eye? Because the two boys next to them were sort of like just kicking dirt and not noticing.
Oh, well, of course, we're conditioned from the moment we're born, and parents treat little girls and little boys differently.
Yeah.
Like, you know, little girls fall over and they coddle them and give them band-aids and hug them and help them cry. And for boys, they're like, rub some dirt in it.
Yeah. And they, maybe that's true.
Kids absorb so much information from how their parents behave, what they see in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women are conditioned to think that there's only one spot for women on the team, or, you know, they see in pretty much every media that exists that women are competitive with each other, and that's how they mm-hmm. grow up to be. It doesn't have to be that way. I certainly don't live my life that way. And what I teach is that jealousy is a natural human emotion. Like, I don't know if it's possible to turn off jealousy entirely. I feel jealousy all the time, but I look at jealousy differently, which is like, it's my signal to me that that woman has something I want. Like, yeah. There's something about her that's inspiring to me. Like, I think jealousy is very, if you channel it correctly, is very similar to inspiration. And rather mm-hmm. than like, mm-hmm. if you feel jealous, you don't need to tear them down. You can actually use her as inspiration to go further yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Like, when you notice that you're coveting something that someone else has, don't make it a negative about that person, but a goals, you know?
Yeah. And actually, when you see that someone else has something that you want, it actually makes it feel more achievable to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, that's why people that grow up in poverty, for instance, it can be really hard for them to imagine reaching certain levels of success because they haven't seen it. The more you can see something, the more you oftentimes can believe you can achieve it. So when right. you see other people have something you have, that and actually can be very helpful for you. Yeah.
What advice do you have for women starting out, the 20-year-olds out there and the 30-year-olds out there, going into business, getting jobs in the man's world? There's still a glass ceiling out there that we have to help them break. And I think, especially in technology fields, where under 50% of, you know, employees and staff are women.
Yeah.
How do you think women can dive in better?
Well, one thing that I really believe in, and maybe is a little controversial, is that I believe women should show up fully as themselves and fully in their femininity, whatever that means to them. Femininity is different for everyone. But what I noticed when I went to business school in particular was that all the leadership qualities that they were teaching us in business school were characteristically more commonly male qualities. Mm-hmm. And all of the case studies that we would read were about male leaders mm-hmm. and taught by male professors to primarily male students.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as part of a practice, as part of what I always do, I tried on all of these characteristically male leadership qualities, and they work to some extent, but they don't totally fit. Whereas,
what do you mean you tried on? Like, you just
role play, and in my actual yeah. life, I tried them on, and I believe that characteristically female qualities like empathy and emotion and community building are some of the most important leadership qualities that are not only undervalued in our society, but also looked down upon. Like, emotions are seen as weakness. Empathy is seen as weakness. When in actuality, the best leaders have empathy and emotion and can connect to other people. So
mm-hmm.
I encourage women to lean into those personality traits. The more we can have examples of women leading with femininity, or it doesn't have to be women, anyone leading with these more feminine personality traits, the more we'll have examples of that in case studies, in business school, in the workplace, in right. the media. And it's going to take time, obviously. It's not going to happen overnight. But I think part of the problem with this patriarchal system, women are part of that system too. And women enforce that patriarchal system by showing up at work dressed in a way that they think will fit the patriarchal workplace better, and talking in a way that they think will help mm-hmm. them fit in with their male colleagues better. and leading in a way that maybe isn't totally natural to them, but is right. what's been done before. And on an individual case-by-case level, that can work for certain people. But in general, things are never going to change unless we as women show up differently too.
That's interesting because I feel the same way, but I'm chairman of my department at Huntington Hospital, and mm-hmm. I notice that the days I go to lead my meetings, I dress very masculine. Like, I'll wear my pinstripe pants and a white button-down shirt, and I'll throw some pearls on, but mm-hmm. I'll be in my masculine version of myself because sure. I feel more authoritative. I feel like I get taken seriously.
Sure.
And I'm in a boardroom, and I'm fitting that masculine role. Like, I'm the chairman of my department, yeah. the man. But I hear what you're saying, and I want to be that girl that shows up in the whatever I want to wear, but I don't. I hold back a little bit, knowing that I'll be taken more seriously.
And for good reason. You know, that message has been reinforced in your life, and probably from personal experience
yeah.
over and over again. But what potentially could make you feel even more confident is showing up as your true authentic self
right.
and just testing the waters that way, because you've maybe never fully allowed yourself to do that. Mm-hmm. And you... Outfits aside, like, when you feel confident, when you feel like yourself, you are going to show up more powerfully mm-hmm. and lead differently. That's just on a personal level. And then on a societal level, the more we as women can agree mm-hmm. as women to do that collectively, the more this patriarchal system is going to crumble. And it is going to crumble. It's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a long way from crumbling, but I'm hopeful. Like, the same way you said that in business school, all the studies were talked about by men based on men experience, mm-hmm. men business, you know, male businesses. It's the same in medicine. It's really interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
Because all of the research is driven by men, even in my industry, in this aesthetics industry, where 90% of the patient base is women. The research is written by men, sponsored by men. Marketing for these big companies is all men. So men are...
Even marketing, really.
The marketing, the advertising to the women clientele is coming from men. And it's curious because the messages of some of the advertising campaigns to me don't ring true at all.
Sure.
Nothing that I would produce as a woman and as a client and someone who's using these products. So, but I really want to bring more women to the table in the aesthetics industry because I think this is a woman's business. We're treating 90% women clients. Like, why are these companies not more run by women and... advertising messages, marketing, research, studies, everything should be women generated, I feel.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what do you think we do about this?
Well, I'm inviting myself to the table because, like, I'm a minority, I'm a woman, I'm a mother, I have a lot of different things going on, but if I don't make room and raise my hand and ask to be invited to the table, then I'll never get a voice, and then I can't complain about how we're underrepresented or how things are never going to change in this world. So even though it's hard work and I'm super busy at work and I don't really have time, I'm calling these companies and saying, hey, I want to be invited to be a key opinion leader and to do this research. And I don't know, using my Instagram voice, my digital voice has been really cool.
Yeah, that's super powerful. I think social media cannot be taken seriously sometimes as a platform. And I certainly never thought social media would be such a big part of my business, but it is incredibly powerful. And what's so beautiful about social media is anyone can have a voice, mm-hmm. and people that didn't previously have platforms to talk about these things now do have a voice. Anyone can.
Yeah.
And I totally, totally applaud and think it's a great idea to grab a seat at the table and ask for it and take it. And I also think it's important that if you don't feel like that's your table, like, start your own table. And that's what I've done in a lot of parts of my life.
That's so true. Yeah. Because it's true. You won't be included at every table, even though you want to be. And you think that that's the important table.
Or on a
table.
Surface level, you're included.
Yeah, I'm but doing not really. And you, and your brain might be telling you, like, oh, if I don't get invited to this, I'm just not the it girl. But the reality is that, like, start your own conversation.
And, you know, that's the perfect example of, like you just said, I'm not the it girl. As women, we're conditioned and all have experienced many times in our life that there's, like, one token woman mm-hmm. on the board or one minority. And that's part of the reason why we're competitive with one another, because we've literally been trained to think that there's one spot.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting now that many more boards are just women focused and, mm-hmm. and I think you're right. It'll take time, but in our lifetimes, I hope to see that our daughters, or I have three daughters. So for sure thinking that they're going to hopefully have more time and experience at the table, you know, doing important stuff. I have a daughter who's going into engineering at USC. Computer science, so I'm super
good
excited
for her.
Yeah, and I have to give a plug to that Viterbi school, which is now 50% women engineers in their class. It's 50%, so it's kind of awesome.
That's amazing.
Not a lot of schools can say that. But
my ex actually he just graduated from business school at USC, and he was part of the team that made Marshall, USC's business school, the first business school to be 50-50.
Oh, cool.
Which is
also tough.
Also super tough. Yeah. And so shout out to USC.
Yay. And then there was a guy at the NIH who was running the NIH, and he said he was no longer going to look at studies that did not include a significant portion of underrepresented women as part of the study subjects. Like, we have to have diversity of the sexes. Studies cannot be all about men and then generalize to the half women right. that are out there. Like,
I mean, that should apply in every industry, but I would think medicine
more than anything.
You can't do a study on... Our bodies are physically different.
Yes, like you can't do a study on 100 hypertensive patients that are men and say, okay, this now applies to women also.
Right.
You need to have 50% women in that study. So can you believe that the NIH for 100 years has been functioning
like... I had no idea that it had been functioning like that, but I'm glad it's changing.
Yeah, so it's kind of amazing for him to say that. So I have to give him a shout out on my Instagram.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, give me some good advice, like if I want to make some changes in my life. I've been bugging myself this summer about, like, I work really hard, I get home late, and then I don't have energy to exercise. And I want to change from being a night person who stays up late to being a morning person so I can get that hour of exercise and serenity in the mornings. But I don't know how to do it.
It's funny you say that, because I have been in my head my whole life fantasizing about becoming a morning person. I'm a late night owl, creative, like 4 in the morning, writing and doing art. Yes. And I recently have become more of a morning person. I don't know if I'll ever be 5 a.m. club, but I did it. And the way I do that, and the way I always recommend doing habit change, are a few things. One is anchor your habit change to another change in your life. The easiest way to change a habit is when you're also changing something else. So the best time to actually change your habits in general is if you have a big life change, like a breakup or a new relationship or a move. But if you don't have any of those big things, just anchor the change you want to make in your mind. Connect that change to another change you're making.
Okay.
That's one. Another thing is only commit to yourself that you're going to do it for 7 days. I always make commitments to myself in 7-day increments, because you can do anything for 7 days. So when I was becoming a morning person, I said I'm going to get up at the same time every day for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, if I still want to do it, I'll do it again for another week. And so I did that, and I just kept adding 7 days. And now it's been probably 4 or 5 months or so. And it's the last tip I'll give is it's super, super important that you honor the commitments you make to yourself. Yeah. So if you commit to yourself for 7 days, you have to do it every day for 7 days, because if you don't, you're teaching yourself that you're not the type of person that honors your commitments. And when you learn that you're not the type of person that honors your commitments, your confidence plummets. Our confidence, essentially, the word confidence is a proxy for saying, I can trust myself. And if you don't honor your commitments, you can't trust yourself. So if it's something that's really out there, like let's say you wake up at 10 every morning and you want to wake up at 5, maybe don't do that all at once.
Yeah.
You know, start in 15 or 30 minute increments, because it's really important that you actually honor the commitment that you're making.
Yeah.
And if you can't honor it every day for 7 days, then don't make that commitment. It has to be. And a lot of my clients.
But then I'm never going to make the commitment.
Well, you're not if you talk like that.
The good side of my brain says, yes, you can do it. And then the bad side is like, I'm just going to sleep.
Just start with 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really helped me morning routine wise is having things that I look forward to in the morning. So some of the things that I would typically do at night, I started doing in the morning that I know I enjoy.
Like what, for example?
Meditating on the beach, doing yoga. I still journal at night. I love writing at night, but I incorporated some journaling into my morning routine. And one of the things I really love about nighttime is no one else is awake, and it's like I'm you know, creating things, and it's my magical zone. And I've started to train my brain that, like, okay, the same thing can be true in the morning. That can be my sacred time. So It is very luxurious, I have to say, because for so long I had been used to waking up in such a rush. And the way you start your morning really sets the tone for the day. So the entire day I was kind of rushed and behind. Mm. And now that I allow myself more time in the morning that's like sacred and just for me and not rushed, the whole rest of my day, it's like time expands a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that happening where you just kind of gradually awaken into your day versus like hit the alarm clock, run.
And honestly, it makes me go to bed earlier, which I think the number one key to an earlier morning routine is going to bed earlier.
What time do you go to bed?
And you can't go to bed. I try to go to bed by midnight, and that's...
Wait, midnight and then you're up at 5? So
I'm not 5 o'clock. I get up between 7 and 8 usually. Oh, okay. I try to get 8 hours of sleep, so...
Okay, cool.
And I could never... Before I was getting up earlier, I could never ever fall asleep before midnight. So as soon as you start getting up earlier, your brain starts getting ready to go to bed earlier. Mm-hmm. And also, as much as you can, disconnecting from technology at night. Mm-hmm. And having a nighttime wind-down routine, like I take a bath every night, I usually read... That's my signal to myself with lavender oil too, that it's time to wind down for bed. So I think your nighttime routine is that signal that it sends to your body is just as important in the morning.
Do you have any advice as far as diet and staying healthy and fit?
Yeah. So people ask me about diet a lot, and I am always resistant to recommend specific foods or specific diets because I believe that every single person is different and there's no one size fits all recommendation for anything. I personally don't believe in cutting out anything entirely because I spent so much of my life trying to lose weight and living on restricted diets. And anytime you even use the word diet, like diet means temporary. And so I think about lifestyle, having a healthy lifestyle rather than having a diet. I'm an intuitive eater, so I follow my intuition. I've noticed that I naturally am an intermittent faster before that term became so popular. Like, I realized that's kind of what I've been doing. And
me too.
It's
really working for me. I mean, I like putting a label on just like skipping meals because I'm basically just like skipping meals. But it sounds so good when I say intermittent fasting.
Yeah. But I think what happens when we learn to diet or when we grew up thinking that we shouldn't eat certain foods and certain foods are okay, we've labeled things good or bad. And we live in such a society of duality where things are good or bad, you know, we tend to reprimand ourselves and then punish ourselves for when we eat quote unquote bad, when in reality, no food is good or bad. And so like my favorite food is mac and cheese. I used to totally reprimand and punish myself every time I ate it. And then that sucked because I couldn't even enjoy my favorite food. Yeah. Like, so now I don't label anything as good or bad. Like, I have mac and cheese like once a week. I don't eat a ton of it, but I always know that I get to have it. I don't feel guilty about it at all. And I get to enjoy it because nothing's good or bad.
That's true. That's true. Nothing is good or bad. You just have to look at calories. They're all calories.
Yeah.
Some of them come with vitamins, fiber,
and
minerals, and the other ones, some don't. But no matter what, a calorie is a calorie.
That's another thing I worry about with any type of eating situation that people have, whether they're worried they're eating too much or they might be eating too little. It all comes down to nutrients. I mean, obviously, you know, like our body doesn't function properly when we're not getting the nutrients and minerals that we need. Mm-hmm. So really focusing, making sure you're getting your minimums on all the vitamins and nutrients. And minerals, your body just literally functions better. You sleep better. You breathe better. Your organs are functioning better. You're healthier.
Do you believe in the idea that you can manifest a dream?
Absolutely.
Come true? You do?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
How much time do we have? So everything is energy. And I believe that just because we can't see something physically doesn't mean it doesn't exist as energy. It does exist as energy. And our thoughts exist as energy as well. And whatever we give energy to, if we give energy to our thoughts, then that takes up space in our brain. We then channel that energy into our behavior, how we act, what we do, and our behavior results in what manifests in our lives. And so whatever you focus on expands. I also always like to say what you water grows. One way of looking at this is, let's say you're in a relationship and you're sitting at home waiting for your boyfriend to come home, and you know that you're frustrated with each other, and you're mm-hmm. you're sitting at home thinking, like, when he walks in the door, we're going to get in a fight. And so you kind of have this, like, armor around you, this negative energy where you're, like, prepping yourself for this fight that might happen. As soon as he opens the door, like, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to get in a fight because you're both, you're coming with this defensive negative energy. If instead you're like, well, we love each other. Yeah, maybe we had, like, a disagreement over text, but I love him and I'm just going to approach him with a big hug.
Right.
And I'm going to focus on the positive and focus about how great our relationship is overall. The way you approach that situation is going to be completely different based on your thoughts, and what happens after that is going to be completely different as well. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, if you're just starting out manifesting, I think that's a great way to think about it, which is that our thoughts influence our actions and our actions influence our outcomes.
Right.
If you really wanted to get into metaphysics and stuff like that, we can talk about it on even deeper levels. But I think that's a great starting point for people.
Do you have any advice for girls out there who are, or guys who are looking for a relationship? You know, it's kind of a new challenging world with isolation, texting,
sure.
and no direct communications anymore.
You know, so. It's funny. I'm fairly recently single.
How long were you together before you broke up?
We were together. We lived together for 3 years. We were actually engaged for a year.
That was traumatic.
Yeah, it was super traumatic and also the best thing I ever did for myself.
That's good.
But I have to say, I've been meeting people in person everywhere I go. So I don't know what everyone's been talking about. I thought I was like, no one's going to talk to me in person. Like, that just hasn't been true for me personally. But what I always believe in your relationships, and this goes with just like manifestation and law of attraction, like attracts like.
Yeah.
So if you want someone who's healthy, you need to be healthy yourself. Mm-hmm. If you want someone who's super loving, you need to be loving yourself. Whatever you are is what you're going to attract in. If you're insecure, if you don't love yourself, if you don't take care of your body, you're going to attract someone who's insecure, doesn't love themselves, and doesn't take care of your body, and you're probably going to have an unhealthy relationship. Healthy attracts healthy. If you want a healthy relationship, you need to be healthy yourself, and that means you need to love yourself. It all comes down to self-love. That's the core of everything. And when you love yourself, you're whole and complete in and of yourself. You will draw in people that are also whole and complete, and that's how you really have a healthy relationship.
So many of my patients are so beautiful, and I get these messages on Instagram, and they're like, oh my God, I have a hideous this and a hideous that, and I'm totally asymmetric and disfigured. And then I'll open the message and look at the photo, and it's this super pretty, beautiful girl who's just tearing her face apart, analyzing every little millimeter. And it just makes me concerned for the women that are looking at Instagram so much that they have this distorted beauty image, and it's making them feel like they're not worthy of self-love and that they need to adjust and fix every millimeter of their body before someone can love them.
Wow.
And just really, I want to always keep my patients so grounded in the fact that there is no perfect person out there. Everybody has little imperfections and insecurities, and even the most beautiful models, which I treat, come in here without makeup, and they all have their flaws, insecurities. But how do you teach someone who really doesn't feel like they're happy with themselves, like, how to have self-love? It's really challenging.
Well, they tear apart the littlest things
about themselves.
That energy is going to attract similar energy. So they're going to draw in, for lack of a better word, douchebags. They're going to attract people in that are overly focused on their looks.
Yes.
That are going to pick them apart.
Mm-hmm. And make them feel worse. And make them feel like they have to do more little things.
You draw in exactly what you think of yourself. And so that would be my biggest concern when it comes to relationships. When it comes to teaching self-love, that's a much bigger conversation. And I have many different exercises and ways of coaching women that I work on with that. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that that is the core of everything. And no matter what women come to me for, like I said, whether it's business or weight or confidence or whatever it is, it really all comes down to self-love. You can't launch a company confidently if you don't love yourself. You can't get in a healthy relationship if you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
And as soon as you really, really, truly learn to love yourself, it is like magic. Like, all these things come into your life. I'll be coaching a woman and you know, will be rearranging a lot of things in her life, and it may seem like everything's up in the air for a couple months. And then all of a sudden, it's like everything clicks at once. They start their company, or they, you know, get a promotion right mm-hmm. as the same week as they meet an amazing new man, right mm-hmm. as the same week as they like hit the goal weight that they've been working towards. So that's not a coincidence. I see that happen over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it all seems to happen when they truly feel so whole and complete in and of themselves that they're not looking for validation elsewhere. Mm. When you are looking for validation in a man, or when you're looking for validation in having a relationship or getting married, you're sending that energy out into the world, and people can sense that. And so that's either going to be repelling to some people, may reek of desperation, or on the other hand, it's going to draw in people that are also of that energy.
That is so true. So I recommend that people seek out a life coach if they need, you know, sometimes you have a mental barrier where you need to let go of some baggage, and someone needs to show you and take you out of the woods and show you the light.
Yeah, we have coaches our whole lives until we're done with school, usually.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're in the real game of life. I think that's when you need a coach the most.
That's so true.
You said something, though, that I am super curious about, which is that if a woman reaches out to you that you feel like she's picking apart every single millimeter of her face, what do you say to something like that? Do you honor her wishes, or?
Well, mostly when I meet people, I want to ask them what they don't like or what they want to work on about themselves. Mm-hmm. And then I always want to emphasize and notice what their best features are. Because everyone has such individual and gorgeous facial structure and beauty. So I want to bring out in my mind, if I was an artist, how could I fix their face to make it look the best version of itself? I don't want that. Someone else's face on you.
Yeah. It's all about enhancing your natural beauty.
Yes. And you can show me lips that you love, and then I'll kind of have the vibe of what you want to do, but I'm going to make them your lips.
Yes.
And bring out your pretty features. And then I like to build people's confidence. When they're sitting in my chair, I have to tell them 5 or 10 things about, I love your eyes, amazing bone structure. I see it. When I see it, I see it. I'm a person who sees beauty in everything. And I think that's what helps me draw it out of people. And I don't want to be the person that's like, okay, let's fix this, fix that. I'm not fixing. You're not broken.
Yeah.
You're not broken, and I'm not going to change you.
These words you're saying are the exact way I feel about my work as well. I like to peel back the layers and bring out the powers and the beauty that you already have inside.
Right.
It's not like we're changing you or making you something you're not. It's just about getting rid of all the extra gunk that you have on you that, like, it's been accumulating over your whole life from past conditioning and trauma. And
yes, and it's sort of like just bringing you your confidence back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, you are amazing. Back. Here's your confidence back. Now go out and live your life, girl. That's what
hell
you do,
yeah,
right? You should come work with me.
That would be so love fun. That.
Oh my god, I need an in-house Brains Over Beauty right here.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm so down.
That would be so amazing. Because I think people need that little part of extra transformation, that pep talk, that like, okay, get focused in your own, what is going on in your life that you want to fix? Every so often, you should take inventory of your life. You really should. I should too.
I think we all that should. One of the things we're really missing in Western culture is that holistic, integrated take on things. Like if you go to the doctor, you can't, it's hard to get, unless you go to an Eastern medicine doctor or a Vedic doctor, it's hard to get a holistic approach of what's going on with your life. Even if you go to your internal medicine doctor, they have to refer you to an ear, nose, and throat doctor or to a dermatologist or whatever. And we're getting these very siloed treatments on our body. Even going to a therapist is just treating one side of things. It's not treating,
very compartmentalized.
Yeah, it's very compartmentalized. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be really beautiful to integrate different aspects of coaching and medicine together.
Totally. That was I once had a dream of setting up a women's center just like that, where you could come, one woman could come into a building and I could take care of her face and she could see her lovely OB-GYN doctor and then the hormone specialist right there to help you.
I just got chills.
And a therapist, like a life coach, and someone to like counsel you through, like, you know, this horrible whatever you're going through, nutritionist, like all in one building. How amazing. And that could be like
a women's. And it's beautiful in and of itself.
Yes.
And women, like, meeting of the minds with each other.
With a little spa, and then like everyone collaborating and sharing. Like, oh, I'm a designer, let me help you with your house.
Exactly.
And I'm a banker, I'm going to help you with your
That's
loan.
One of the most fun parts of my job, and also with this sisterhood that I put together, that all of these women from different walks of life and different industries that are all brilliant in their own right and would be successful in and of themselves without the sisterhood are now brought together, and with their powers combined, they can share all these resources they have, people they know, right, different expertises that they have, and they can go so much further together.
What is the sisterhood? Tell me.
It's called the Flex Your Female Sisterhood. Uh-huh. That I launched for many different reasons. It's a group coaching program.
Oh.
Where I help women peel back the layers and unleash mm-hmm. the power inside of them and then go pursue their purpose once we reveal what that is. And it's something that I've taken many, many women through on a one-on-one basis. And I started doing it on a sisterhood basis, A, because they get so much more coaching and learnings when they're all learning from each other and witnessing coaching that I do with other people. A lot of times I've found that you can actually learn more when I'm coaching somebody else on yes. the same thing that you need coaching on, where maybe there are parallels. You can see it so much more clearly in someone else than you can in your own life sometimes. Yeah. So they're all having so many incredible breakthroughs. But they also just have this incredible bond. I mean, they're flying all over the country to visit each other, and it's beautiful. Yeah.
Wow, I love that idea. I love that. You are such an amazing person. It's been so fun chatting with you.
I'm so happy we finally met. Yeah. We have so much in common.
We really do. I feel like we empower women in different ways.
Absolutely. In complementary ways.
Very much so. And you definitely have a ton of brains and you're going Likewise. Places. So I love the idea of Brains Over Blonde. And I want you guys to all check out Anna's amazing venue. And what website can they find you on?
You can find me at brainsoverblonde.com and at brainsoverblonde on Instagram. Come say hi.
And that's your website and your Instagram.
Exactly.
Go and follow her. And I think we should invite you to the office to do a sisterhood event here.
I would love that.
That would be
you.
So fun. Yes. Let's do a meetup and we can have your followers, my followers come in.
Let's do it.
That's I'm thinking of doing a wind down Wednesday, like Wednesdays after work. Come and have a glass of wine and do like some nice meditational, like breathing, chatting, like a little
fun.
How fun would that be?
Yeah, I'm in.
And we can all do oxygen facials or something fun.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds great. Let's do it.
Well, there you have it. That's everything you guys need to know about how to build a better self. How to start on the journey, at least.
It's a lifelong path. There's no end destination.
Yeah.
I always tell my clients, I have not arrived. I'm the work in progress too, as we all are.
We all are. And you can do everything, anything you can do for 7 days.
Absolutely.
You can pick a goal, be mindful about it, manifest it, do it for 7 days. And hopefully, if you can't, come and see Anna.
That's right. I got your back.
Well, there you have it, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And it's really interesting to talk not just about outwards beauty, but also inward beauty. And don't scrutinize yourself so much in the mirror. Throw away the mirror once in a while and just think about other things in life other than how you look on the outside. Even though I'm a plastic surgeon, I'm also a person and a woman, and I want to raise a generation of really healthy, beautiful and empowered women, and that comes with not scrutinizing the heck out of your face.
And the happier you are on the inside, the more beautiful you are on the outside too.
That really
is true. I think that's like a flawless fact.
That is a fact. So take time and step away from the mirror. And find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people inside and out, faces and bodies and souls. And my website is the same, www.beautybydrkay.com. And we will breathe in together. Take a deep breath in. Manifest a really amazing positive week and sisterhood for all you ladies out there. Ta-da! Thank
you. Maybe I'll do that ending. Yeah,
like, do you want me to breathe?
Yeah. Let's do that again.
We almost made it through.
I know. Okay. So find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces and also with their spirits. You can also try my skincare on my website, beautybydrk.com. I hope you guys will all try it. I'm going to give you some samples to try too.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
And let's do some Botox for your brow.
Let's do it.
If you can get rid of those frown lines and lift your spirits, you should definitely do it. Remember,
lift my spirits and my face.
Lift your brows and your spirits together. So that's it for now. Thanks so much for tuning in, and check out Anna at Brains Over Blonde. And we'll see you next week. Stay beautiful.
Bye.